It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent, and we begin your Friday morning by responding to a listener request. It was a couple of weeks ago now that we took an hour from this program to ask you what you wanted to hear from us. And here's Erin from Madison.
I have a child with autism, so I think it would be really important to hear from experts in the field or even parents and healthcare providers about how to be more aware early in your child's life to the signs of autism and how to get help in Wisconsin particularly.
So the team here at the morning show got right to work on following through on Erin's request. And by right to work, I mean 15 minutes after this show. Our guest this morning works with families to help with diagnostic evaluations and behavioral assessments. So we'll ask you to join the show. And how has your own understanding of the autistic spectrum and our own neurodiversity evolved over time? What stories do you have to share this morning about being diagnosed on the autistic spectrum, or stories of our families and friends? We invite you to call us at 1-800-642-1234. We invite you to email us, ideas@WPR.org. Our guest is Kristen Wagner, clinical psychologist at the Autism and Behavior Center in Altoona, outside of Eau Claire. Kristen, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Lee, and happy Autism Awareness Acceptance Day.
So let's start there then, Kristen. What can we do to acknowledge this day and those who have been diagnosed on the autistic spectrum?
Oh, what a great question. I think number one is going beyond awareness and really moving towards the acceptance, recognizing that autism isn't something bad, isn't something that needs to be fixed or cured, and embracing neurodiversity and looking at how we can make accommodations in our communities and in our world to help autistic individuals be more comfortable in their own skin.
Well, we spoke with you last June, Kristen, about how the pandemic has affected operations at the Autism and Behavior Center in Altoona. And give us an update now on how your work is going day to day.
Yeah, I am busy. Fortunately, my staff and I are all fully vaccinated. So we have been back full time, face to face with all of our kiddos. And that has just been absolutely wonderful. We have a lot of ground to catch up.
Well, and how has this last year been a struggle for the work that you do?
Yeah, I think in some ways, individuals with autism didn't struggle as much as some of the rest of us. They live every day in chaos and struggling with changes in routine and things being moved in the grocery store and all of the unexpected daily things that we don't even notice. And so I think we got a little window into an autistic person's world when we had to deal with lockdowns and shutdowns and changes in our routines. But for an individual with autism, sometimes that social isolation is almost preferred. Not that they don't want friends and don't want to make, but it's hard for them. And so that shutdown was a little bit easier, but caused more problems now because it's such a dramatic change, and especially for our little guys. If we think of those toddlers and preschoolers in those early years, when you're learning about what a cow is or what a horse is, if you only see it on screens and you haven't gone to the zoo or the farm or the petting zoo to experience life, trying to learn and understand the world around you when you are living in your four walls can be extraordinarily difficult.
Kristen Wagner, our guest, clinical psychologist on this World Autism Awareness Day, where we're moving from awareness to more acceptance. And as I go to the website for autismspeaks.org, Kristen, I see the Light It Up Blue, Wear Blue, and Kindness, April 2nd, in support of understanding and acceptance for people with autism. And the page at autismspeaks.org has a common refrain, and that common refrain is kindness. And maybe it's clear to you, Kristen, but what role does kindness play in the way that we treat our own neurodiversity?
Oh, somewhat of a loaded question. I think as a psychologist, my answer to that is first and foremost, we need to be kind to ourselves. And if we can learn to accept our own mistakes, our own struggles that we have, and then can embrace those little pieces of faults in ourselves, we will have a better chance to be kind to someone else and to get that tiny little glimpse, that window into what it must be like to live in a world that is so overstimulating and so confusing. And so if we can embrace and acknowledge ourselves and our own weaknesses and our own faults, I think it's easier to truly have empathy and be kind to someone else.
So it starts with kindness to yourself?
I think it does. More the acceptance and awareness of faults. Because if we can acknowledge that we have tantrums, we have meltdowns, we're going to be able to not judge and to be kind. So if a child is having a meltdown, and I'm not talking a tantrum because a child didn't get what he wants, but a meltdown because maybe they moved the cereal from where it was last week, and a child with autism just doesn't understand where is their cereal. And so that child might be having a meltdown, and people stop, they stare, they point, oh, what bad parents, horrible kinds of things that my families and parents have said that people have said to them. And so if we recognize our own faults and our own weaknesses and how we address, maybe that can help to be kind and to not judge others.
Kristen Wegner, do you think those who are autistic are discriminated against because of their symptoms?
Yes and no. I think that there is a stereotype of what autism is, and I think that some people are discriminated against because they're not autistic enough, which there is no such thing, because there is no such thing as high-functioning or low-functioning. Autism is autism, and it's a spectrum, and every autistic expresses their autism in a different way. And so I think the biggest discrimination comes from having this narrow window or view of what someone perceives autism. And so I was just talking with a group of friends I have on Instagram and posting a what does autism look like, and asking them, autistics themselves and parents of autism, what hurtful things they hear. And some of those are, oh, he's not autistic because he talks, because he looks at me, because he doesn't flap. Well, girls can't be autism. He's too smart. And so I think that discrimination sometimes comes because people have a misconception of what autism should look like.
And is that because, at least to some degree, we had originally understood autism as a binary on or off switch, as opposed to a spectrum where we now, as we continue to understand neurodiversity, we all fall along some sort of spectrum of our nerves?
Absolutely. And I think 40 years ago, 50 years ago, individuals diagnosed with autism were diagnosed with autism that also had cognitive impairments, and so there was a dual diagnosis. And we know that autism doesn't affect intelligence, and so there, that spectrum is not about intelligence.
Kristen Wegner is our guest, clinical psychologist at the Autism and Behavior Center in Altoona. And we'd be interested in hearing from you this morning. April is Autism Awareness Month, and this is World Autism Day. And your questions, your comments about the autistic spectrum and our own neurodiversity at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Our conversation with Kristen continues next. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You know, if you think your fingerprint's unique, you should check out your brain. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and we're exploring our own neurodiversity this morning and the importance of identifying it at an early age and treating it with kindness and understanding, knowing that the result is most typically a happy and full life. What questions do you have this morning about the diagnosis of autism spectrum disorder? What stories do you have this morning to share about people who have had this diagnosis? 1-800-642-1234 is the number to the studio. You can always email us, ideas@WPR.org. Kristen Wegner is a clinical psychologist in Western Wisconsin with over 30 years' experience, and she stays with us this morning. Kristen, we've been in this pandemic for a year now, and I know one of the important elements of treating the autistic spectrum is early diagnosis. How hard has it been to achieve an early diagnosis when we have been so isolated for a year?
I think that in one way, we have been fortunate because the pandemic forced insurance companies to rethink what they allowed. And so now telehealth is an allowable service. And while that isn't necessarily the best treatment modality for diagnostic, it actually has been a beneficial tool. First of all, when I do a diagnosis, I need to meet with the parents and get a detailed history of a child's development, because even though autism can be diagnosed at any age, symptoms must present within those first 3 years. So we need to get a detailed history. And that can be difficult when a parent brings a child into the office and you're trying to have an interview when the child is present. And so being able to do a telehealth when the child is napping and talking with the parent, and the parent is more comfortable in their own home. So I think that has been a benefit. And then also being able to see the child in their environment has been helpful, but certainly a disadvantage in that I am not directly able to see how the child is responding to me, because a toddler or a preschooler is not that tuned in to wanting to play toys with some two-dimensional person on a screen.
That makes sense, Kristen. And so increased access is an opportunity. Would you recommend that every child undergo a behavioral assessment? And if so, at what age? What should parents look for?
I don't think every child, but certainly if a parent has any inkling, any thought that this doesn't seem like what I expected or what I read about, my child is not playing peekaboo, or my child is opening and shutting doors repeatedly, or is not looking at me. And we can go through some more of those early signs, but I would want any parent who has any of those gut feelings to get a diagnosis, because, again, not that I want to change who an autistic person is or fix or cure, but I would love to be able to alleviate the anxiety and the overwhelming and any kinds of behavioral problems that result because a person can't navigate the world around them or can't communicate. And so with that early diagnosis, we can help to alleviate some of the later problems.
How early?
12 months is probably the earliest that I can diagnose. So it's pretty young.
Kristen Wegner, as a clinical psychologist, when this is a listener request from Aaron, who has a child who's been diagnosed on the autistic spectrum, where can parents go for more help? Where can they get support? How can, and you know, every parent's going to want to do whatever they can for their child, so what can they do?
Yeah, there are actually very few psychologists that do autism evaluations. So getting that evaluation can be difficult. 10 years ago, I didn't even do evaluations because I didn't want to both evaluate and treat. But the waiting lists at the bigger clinics were getting so long that parents were waiting up to 6 months or a year just to get a diagnosis. And then that child, if they had autism, was losing that critical period of development. So I think there are resources, and the Greater Autism Society in Wisconsin has a great site that can link families to the different resources in their specific area. But I think it is not taking no for an answer. There's a very few of us that are qualified to do autism diagnosis, and so seeking out that person that is very knowledgeable and has experience, because it can be difficult to see in a 12-month-old or an 18-month-old, but that's when we would ideally want to do that diagnosis as young as possible.
So parents, does your child have special needs or has been diagnosed on the autistic spectrum? And what's it been like guiding them through this pandemic? How have you explained the coronavirus? And you know, as we're all trying to find our way through this, are you a teacher who's worked with autistic children? We'd want to hear from you before our conversation's over here at the bottom of the hour at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Kristen, when we look towards, and I want to mention that we'll put the links for help and networking with the autism group in Wisconsin on our webpage at WPR.org/mornings. One of the aspects of people who've been diagnosed on the autistic spectrum disorder that I want to bring up is their sense of humor, because their sense of humor is my sense of humor. It makes me laugh with their puns and their wit, and sometimes I think people don't think that but people on the autistic spectrum disorder, they're funny. They have a sense of humor about the anxiety that, as we started the conversation, many of us can relate to through the experiences we went through this past year, and the ratcheting up of our own anxiety is a little bit of a window to what it could be like to be diagnosed on the autistic spectrum. So give me some feedback on that.
I'm going to say that, you know, each person's sense of humor, I think, is as unique as they are. I think I know individuals with autism who are humorous, and I know others who don't get humor. So I think that also varies for every individual. Humor can be a very difficult thing for a lot of autistics to understand because of the abstractness of it, and so individuals with autism are often very concrete thinkers. And so even the other day I was doing something silly and I said, I've lost my marbles, and my autistic child said, "Oh my gosh, not your marbles, I will help you find them," which is wonderfully humorous, but it's because I was using this figurative language that he took literally. And so while we can chuckle, I can't imagine what it's like to go through the world to misunderstand. And so I think sometimes autistics can end up being the butt of a joke. And it goes back to that discrimination that you were talking about, that if you don't quite get things or you say things that are a little bit off, they might not have meant to have been funny.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Allison in Rhinelander has a question for you this morning. Kristen, Allison, you're on the morning show.
Good morning. I want to thank you for the work that you're doing. There's a controversy about whether autism is connected with vaccines. And I think there's substantial information on both sides of the issue. However, if there is such a controversy, why has the vaccine court awarded parents of autistic children with substantial sums of money? That's my question.
Sure. Thank you, Allison, and I appreciate your kind words. I am not familiar with research supporting a connection between autism and vaccines. There had been some research, but all of that research has been debunked, and actually the individual who started that lost his medical license because there is more research that shows that there is no link between vaccines and autism.
So, Kristen, looking into the future then, how might a parent of a child with autism explain the vaccine process when it's time to get immunized?
Yeah, there's some great books that have been just published in the last year about germs, about coronavirus, and learning about what a virus does and what germs do and how we can stay safe is, I think, the first step in beginning that process. And then we do lots of little practice. We talk about getting that big poke, and we set up a pretend doctor office, and we practice poking with our finger and then a toothpick. And we practice our behavioral regulation strategies so that when the child goes to get a shot or a vaccine or a blood draw or any of the medical procedures that can be so overwhelming, that child knows what to expect and is able to have already practiced how to calm their bodies and how to deal with that anxiety provoking and somewhat, you know, painful for some individuals.
Kristen Wagner, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and happy World Autism Day.
Thank you so much, Lee. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Kristen Wagner is a clinical psychologist working with children who have autism. And thanks to Aaron from Madison for suggesting we talk about autism on the program. If you have an idea for the morning show, visit us at WPR.org/mornings or email ideas at WPR.org. Be sure to mention your name and city, like Aaron from Madison, and thank you, Aaron, so we can thank you on the air.